Dear Heavenly Father, you are so good. Thank you for getting myself here and everyone you have brought here. Thank you for getting us all here. I just want to say thank you for everyone who kind of makes this thing go, from Pastor Sean to the worship team to the ushers, the greeters, and like you said, the children teachers. I know you got something good cooked up with Pastor Sean for us, so thank you for that, and amen.
Amen. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. It's a good Sunday already for me. We're in the season finale of Acts of the Apostles. The book of Acts was accredited to Luke. He was the hands that penned the gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. That's what they give him credit for. I believe God's the actual author. I know that's like debated in the society. I believe God himself is the ultimate author of the entire Bible. Even if there's missing books somewhere, God's author of what I got. So if I you can worry about missing books if you want, but like learn the books you got, and that'd be really good, because I believe he's the author of that, right? Luke starts this little, this chapter with a little recap. I don't have media, but if I had some OG R&B, there would be the song, "What's Been Going On? What's Been Going On?" Right? Like, what's going on? What's happening? He recaps with it. And "What's Been Going On" is actually another song. It's that same old song and dance. Same old song and dance. He's like, dude, you wouldn't believe it. Every time we go to town, God does something, then pumpkin heads show up, and then there's trouble and division. And you know why that is? See, people are messy. Right? They're messy. So some mockers are seeking for the first time who Jesus really is, and then they turn. And then other mockers are still on the spur. I won't continue to rhyme and tell them they would choose to burn, because that'd be too dark. Say too dark. But that is a choice, right? I hope they don't choose that. It's too early, Pastor, for you to pull your nonsense. I know. It's important to remember, when it comes to mockers, while there's still breath in their lungs, there is time to reach them. So go where he sends you. Go where he sends you. Disciples should know that we signed up for that. If you're a disciple, you signed up for the I Love Mockers to Life program. I'm usually, like, I was a mocker. You think I had more grace. Right? Was a mocker, got saved, and then I had little grace for mockers. I'm just saying, I was not as refined as I am today in my expression of my emotions when confronted with challenges of various degrees, like smooth and cool Andrew was. I wasn't so smooth, nor was I so cool. But I realized that you got to love mockers, because no one else is going to love them to life but you. Say, I'm the church. Yeah. Acts 14, 1. The same thing happened in Iconium. Remember? This is what's going on. This routine situation. The same thing happened. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power. Say power. Say, so they preached with power. They didn't preach with volume. Some people mistake in our lives that volume is power. Volume is just volume. Mm-hmm. Trust me, there's a time for volume. When Mark and I want to scream up front during worship, it's time for it. Right, Mark? No matter what anyone says. Right. Power is not volume, though. It is the result of the Holy Spirit. You can't mimic power for long and people will go, that's not power. Such power, a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. Say, that's the purpose of the power. That's the purpose of the power. Come on. The Jews and Greeks both became believers. Some of the Jews, however, same old song and dance, my friends. Some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. Same old song and dance, right? Sounds like last week a little bit, doesn't it? Acts 14, 3 through 4. But the apostles, now Luke is referring to the way the leaders see Paul and Barnabas here. You notice he calls them apostles? The Gospel of Luke, he calls these guys apostles. It's recognition of how they're already functioning. He didn't give them a title, they just started doing it, remember? But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord, and the Lord proved, say proved. The Lord proved their message was true by giving them power to do miraculous signs and wonders. But the people of the town were divided. Say, same old song and dance. People are messy. The people of the town were divided in their opinion about them. It's a good place to park, right, Miley? Christians, before we form an opinion, remember we're supposed to ask God. It's easy to form an opinion right off the bat. You see something, you look at something, you hear about something, right? You tell me something about some player that I don't that I like in the NBA, and you tell them about some shady guy that he is. I go, dang. Don't like that guy, no. I never asked the guy. I don't know if that's true. You read it on some article. Like, you with that guy? Yeah. Yeah, he's a murderer, but he played in the NBA. I don't like him, you know? We don't take, always go to the source. The people were divided on their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. Here's some points to think about. Always ask God first. Then ask yourself, are they proven? And when you side with the truth, we have to remember that division can happen. Even when you're walking in truth, division can happen. Also, when you're sharing how, see, lots of times, well, I share the truth, cause division. That's what Pastor said. I'm sharing truth. How we share truth matters. How? I know it's not on the notes. I'm going to be everywhere this morning. So put your seatbelt on. I'm coming out. How it matters. You know, Dr. Heidi and I have this thing at Ethos Council. We talk about how you serve a conversation, how you should serve a steak. We have an acronym called, it's ATE, A-T-E, affirmation, truth, and encouragement. Basically, it's a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. You start with affirming someone, you give them the truth, and you encourage them towards it, right? You can serve gospel well. You can serve truth rough. Now, if I had a nice T-bone steak, I'm talking tomahawk nice, maybe dripping, gravy, everything. Like, it's like, I want your mouth to feel a little, let me know when your mouth's juicy. That kind of steak, he's already in. See what I'm saying? That kind of steak, I had it this morning, and I took it, and I just chucked it at you. Bounced it off your forehead. I think she'd get up with that bone, and she'd shank me. Don't serve me that steak that way, Pastor. I will cut you. You know, if some guy's like, I don't care, throw it at me. I don't care if it bounces off the carpet. I don't care if it rolls out the backyard. I'll just hose that off. I know some of you, but what if I ground it up in a blender and poured it out all over your lap? You're going to eat that? No, what? It's a great steak served badly. Gospel's the best message in the world, but it gets served badly all the time. So truth does cause division, but our responsibility is to serve it well. Back on stage. Thank you for that PSA. Division over non-essentials make no sense to us now. If you've got Jesus in your life and little things that cause division, doesn't make sense to us, right? It just doesn't. Our part is to ask God before we criticize. Our job before we criticize is to ask God. Before we form an opinion, it's to ask God. Before I make my own plan, it's to ask God. I'm supposed to keep as full as I can, right? So full that maybe when he says, say something, I'll say it. So full, maybe if he asks me to stay for a long time and I don't want to, I do it. So full, if he asks me to stand up and I really don't want to stand up because it's really going to cause me to stand out, and I'm not a standout kind of person. I'm a quiet, backstage kind of person. And if I stand up right now, then I'll stand out. And I don't want to stand out. I don't have a problem standing up. I don't want to stand out. But if you're full of him and he says, stand up, guess what? Stand up. Are we so full of him that when we're smashed and broken and beaten that we give our best to Jesus still? The church, the people, even serving God can be messy. Just remember that. Acts 14, 5 through 7. Then a mob. Acts 14, 5 through 7. Then a mob. Acts 14, is that it? Then a mob. That's 6 through 7, but 5 says, then a mob of both Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. Well, that's a turn. Like, weren't these guys just like, wow, great message, good job. I'm following these guys. I'm in. This, the good news has come. And it says their leaders and them decided to attack and stone them. Mobs often turn ugly quick. Why? Because angry people are very messy. Angry people are messy. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia. to the town of Lystra and Derbe and the surrounding area. I personally love that. I love when they escape and they don't have to suffer. I love when you escape and you don't have to suffer. I like when I pray, go, how'd they go? I didn't have to suffer. It was like, awesome. God paid the rent. Or, I don't know, God, my foot does this now. I love hearing, like, you didn't have to suffer. Man, I had to go and speak on stage at some school, and I was all nervous. But God did a great thing. I love that. I love when we don't have to suffer. I love when the apostles don't have to suffer. And there they preach the good news. They speak truth and encouragement wherever you are. Say, we are. We're the church, and we're going to say it. Acts 14:8. While they were at Lystra, Paul and Barnabas came upon a man with crippled feet. He had been that way from birth. He had been that way from birth. So he had never walked. He was sitting and listening as Paul preached. Looking straight at him, Paul realized, you know, at times the Holy Spirit, if you are full of him, will let you see something. He'll show you what he's doing in someone else. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, and you can sometimes see what God is doing in someone's. Ever been in that situation? Anybody ever just like, I could see God was doing something. I don't know what it was, but he's doing something. Or, you know, like, I know exactly what God's doing right there. I feel that. You feel, like, you ever have those moments? Raise your hand. I don't want to be crazy. Good. I feel like those moments are true. And Paul's looks straight at him. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He sees God doing something. And then the last town, God showed Paul something in somebody. And it was the son of the devil. Remember that? Sometimes he shows himself. Sometimes, like, yeah, that's the son of the devil, that guy right there. Yeah, blind for a while. But this other guy, do you see what I'm doing? Yeah, you're going to heal him? Yes, I am. Paul realized, the guy that had never walked before, guy had never walked, had faith to be healed. So Paul called to him in a loud voice, stand up. First, I'm proud of him to heed the call to stand up. But big ups. Now, hear me in this. Big up to those who have never stood up in any way their whole lives, but now they're standing up for Jesus daily. That's some of you. Some of you never stood up for Jesus. You never in your life, but it's changing you right now, and you're standing up in uncomfortable situations. You're proclaiming who Christ is in your life, and you're standing up for the very first time, and it's just as beautiful to me. I'm not diminishing this miracle. But standing up for Jesus daily takes his spirit as well. Hey, Eastside, you ready? Eastside, you ready? You got to look at the west side and say, I see you standing. West side, say, I see you standing too. I see you standing. Stand up. And the man jumped to his feet and started walking. I love that. Be honest. Why didn't others get healed? Ever think that, though? Ever have that question? Right after God is a miracle for somebody, you go, why not this? Oh, come on. Anybody ever go, why not this? Just me and Randy and just a few of us are honest this morning. Be honest. Why did others not get healed? I'm trying not to criticize you, God, but I'm asking. He is the Lord and he's proven. I don't think I'm going to shake him by my question. I'm not being salty. And I feel like God says it's right here, learn about celebrating other people's blessings, because that's just as hard too. Learn to celebrate other people's blessings, right? Jesus knows he's asking all his disciples to grow that way. Sometimes it's hard when you're waiting on something, you see someone else got something that you're waiting on, or something you wanted your whole life and someone, God just blessed them. Somebody just came in the church first time, they didn't have any faith at all. They came in, you've been waiting for 6 years for your pinky toe to become smaller. You know, been believing God. I don't know why he's not healing that pinky toe. Why are you going to get an extra shoe for it? I don't know. But we've been praying and seeking God for it. And then all of a sudden, someone comes in. Oh, my gosh. I've had sneeze every day for the rest of my life. And God hears me like, oh, why didn't God heal my pinky toe? We got to look where our hearts are going with that. Because God starts doing miracles, but we want to see him do it in us, not around us. And he's looking for our hearts. He's a heart looker. That's all I'm saying. Celebrate others' blessings from a true heart. If it's hard for you, ask the Holy Spirit. He's a helper. Celebrate others from a true heart. It's important to learn from others' mistakes. Ever think about that? Ever have someone say, can't you learn from my mistakes? You got to make your own. Anyone ever heard that from their parents? Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the, I should have been tattooed on my forehead. It's important to learn from others' mistakes. Why do some people have to learn to make their own deadly messes? Why don't we realize that we don't always? We get locked in there. Well, I got to make my own mess. I got to be my own man. No, it is wise to learn from other people's mistakes. To get, like, go, well, I'm not going to do that. I thought about it, but I'm not going to do that. Or help me never forget that. I don't want to make that mistake, right? You don't always have to make a mistake. If you always feel like you have to make mistakes, say this with me. Stop it. You don't have to. You can learn. We are evolved. We are made in His image. We can learn. Say, I will start learning from other people's mistakes because I am the church. Acts 14:11-13. When the crowd saw that Paul had done, they shouted. They shouted in their local dialect, these men, when the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted. Uh-oh, we're going to get in trouble? No. They shouted in their local dialect, these men are gods in human form. These men are gods in human form. These, what? This guy never walked. Look at him. He's booking around here. These guys are gods in human form. Say, uh-oh. Will they pass the fame and popularity test? Same thing. Or will they take just a piece of the credit? After all, they're obedient to be there. Ever feel a little bit inside like you take a piece of his credit sometimes? They shouted in their local dialect, these men are gods in human form. They decided that Barnabas was the Greek god Zeus, which I love. They decided, why don't you just ask Barnabas? He'll tell you. And they decided he's a Greek god Zeus. And they decided that Paul was Hermes since he was the chief speaker. Here's a good pause point. Popular opinions. I'll stay on stage. Popular opinions, even when backed by news clips and video footage, is not always the truth. Go to the source. You take a clip of me on Sunday at any given time, and I'm in trouble with every media outlet in the world. Wow, a pastor yells at the church. Ah, he was pretending to be a lion. Listen to the rest of the tape, you know. Go to the source. Imagine if you just saw that. Like, you go home just before you put on the football game, and you see, just got reported. 30-second news clips. Zeus and Hermes, look what they did. Guy that wasn't walking, and all it says is Zeus and Hermes show up. You'd be like, Zeus and Hermes showed up? Who? Right? Everyone says so. Look, it's even on TikTok. Now, the temple of Zeus was located just outside of town. So the priest of the temple and the crowd brought bulls and wreaths of flowers to the town gates, and they prepared to offer sacrifices to the apostles. Say, uh-oh. Come on. It's just a little roast beef. We're obedient. I'm hungry. We came all this way. Let's just cook it up. Let's just have some barbecue. Say, uh-oh. It's a test. Don't let yourself get wormy. Episode 12, don't let yourself get wormy. Anyone want to play a quick little game? Wait, though, before you answer. Until you hear the title. Don't you want to hear the title first? Who answered first? Who answered, yeah, sure. The front rows, I'll point each other out. Should have waited. The game is hard questions that punch you right in the soul. Ready? Let's play. When you crush it and do really well at something, honestly, do you hope they give you some praise? Okay. Contestant, please answer honestly. Next question. Number two. Is people praise silently what you live for or live on? I only got four likers on that post. Are you kidding? Only four likers. What's the matter with me? Wow, I wore like new white shoes today, Miley, that are not stepped on by people. They're not dirty and disgusting. No one said a word. Like, seriously, our lives, it sounds funny, right? How often do we live on other people's praise? I'm just trying to say that's dangerous. Here's an essay. You ready? You love essays. Everyone does. It's a soul hardness game. A, it's a two-part essay, Pastor Sharon. Is adoration possibly an idol in your life? And B, Has tuning out the proven voices of reason in your life ever been the wisest move? Has tuning out the voices of reason, proven trust in your life, has it ever been good when you didn't follow that proven, trusted advice and you did your own thing? How often did that turn out well? Not very well. All of us go, no, that didn't work out. But how often do we go, you know what you're talking about? Bro, we're going to do this again. It was a terrible game. See, we're the church now. We will learn and we will be careful. So here's my paraphrase and synopsis. So they responded to Paul and Barnabas, wow, it's the gods. Wow, you guys are awesome. Wow, let's have a barbecue in your honor. Acts 14:14. But when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, so here's the writer of Acts, the leaders of the very first church refer to Barnabas and Paul as apostles, filled with the Holy Spirit sent by God, approved by the first church. Paul and Barnabas were approved by the first church and sent by God to do certain missions that were full of the Holy Spirit. But when Paul and Barnabas heard what was happening, this praise towards them, they tore their clothes in dismay. Again, I was going to pick out the Grinch video when he's ripping his shirt, but that's not quite. It's more like grieving at a funeral. If you've ever been to a really hardcore Italian funeral, someone's ripping their clothes, it's just going to happen. Grief. And that's what they're doing. Their first response, when they're getting praised for an awesome thing, their first response was not to go, let's just have a sandwich. It was heart-wrenching. They tore their clothes and ran out among the people shouting, friends, why are you doing this? We are merely human beings just like you. We are messy people too. Wackadoo, wackadoo. We are messy people too. Wackadoo, wackadoo, wackadoo. We are messy. Right? They're just like you. We're humans. Like, we know God. God did it. We didn't do anything. Shouting, friends, why are you doing this? We're merely human beings just like you. Can't they be more clear? No, not God's. Don't know Hermes. Definitely not Zeus. This is Paul. He used to be known as Saul. I'm Barnabas. He says, we've come to bring you the good news that you should turn from these worthless things. What you're doing right now is worthless. The praise you're heaping on us is worthless. These are the worthless things you do. This is the type of stuff that must stop. There's only one God. The good news that you should turn from these worthless things and turn to the living God. God who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. Y'all, in the past, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. To their own way. It's so good. Go your own way. That's kind of a theme song, right? I didn't blast that this morning either. I heard Pastor Sharon, she started singing it. Go your own way. But that's how we're prone to do, right? He permitted it. Like, go ahead, go your own way. He permitted all the nations to go their own ways, but he never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. Basically, you got no excuses. You recognize the one true God. You've seen it. And then he goes into, for instance, he sends rain and good crops and gives you food and joyful hearts. But even with these words, they could not even hear it from the one that the miracle's being told about. But even with these words, Paul and Barnabas could scarcely restrain the people from sacrificing to them. Fame and popularity is nonstop and will come for you every hour of the day. And you think, I'd handle it well. Man, there's a huge scandal in the NBA. Some professional NBA players and referees, the leaders on their teams and leaders and things, and they're indicted with certain mafia families right now for fixing games. If you would have said with that, I said, no, man, that dude seems like a solid dude. You say, well, that's him. Well, that could be you because people are messy. Right? People are messy. Do not trust popular opinion for your comfort and your love. Crowds turn quickly. Trust the proven ones. I have a cute little slide to help you remember this. Popularity is a cannibal. It consumes its own. Popularity is a cannibal. It just wants to eat you up and spit you out, eat you up and spit you out. One minute, you're the starlet of the cinema screen. The next minute, you're scandalous, right? Popularity, that's everybody wants popular. It's a cannibal. It will consume you and eat out. We're learning. So the good takeaway is at least the people were stoked, though, right? Like, hey, you guys are like gods. This was awesome. That dude's still walking, right? Woo! Good news. They got miracles and good news. They probably just kept partying anyways. Acts of the Apostles 14:19. Then some of the Jews arrived from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowds to their sides. Wait a minute. Just a second. They were like gods. It's the same old song and dance. Popularity turns on a minute. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of town, thinking he was dead. Popularity turns quickly. The truth is rarely accepted, constantly persecuted. Paul, obedient to the point of attempted murder, brutal bashing him with stones. I brought him for Stephen. Picture stones that size. Mark brought his hammer. And if there's a crowd angry enough at you that their desire and their intent is to kill you with that. That's their intent. That's their desire. That's their focus. Okay? Paul gave his life many times, say proven. How many times did he give his life? And he still gets backlash today from people outside the church. They dragged him out of town thinking he was dead. Why? Because if you hit the strongest, take Nick, powerful Nick, who picks me up and squeezes me like a teddy bear when I need my spine adjusted, right? If we all, with stones that size, decided to bash on Nick, they dragged him out of town thinking he was dead. Makes sense. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up. We get up with a little help from our friends. Dragged him out of town thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up. He got up and went back into the town. The people that killed him with the giant stones and left him out there to watch him be dead, he went back into the town. Paul was proven. You know, you want to hear a dumb minor debate that can separate people in the body of Christ? I'm going to give it to you. It's one of the perfect examples of a stupid thing being talked about and causing messy division. There's two points of view, right? Paul was left for dead because he was actually dead. Makes sense, right? Smashed enough. They've killed enough people with stones. They've seen someone what they look like when they die with stones. And massive head injuries rarely heal quickly. You know, makes sense. The second opinion is, was Paul just beaten so badly, it was reasonable to assume they left him for dead in the pool of his own blood, mashed face and broken bones. They did inflict deadly trauma and they expected it to be finished. Makes sense. They know that no human's going to make it back from that kind of abuse. So isn't either way the point, honestly, never count God's ability to do anything out he chooses to do. Like, never count God out. That was sung this way. Never count him out. If he could do something crazy, he may not do it, but don't give him a chance. No matter how crazy it is. Say, I'm the church, and God can do as he pleases. Here's another point. I have some huge human level respect for the proven. Paul is stone cold, unflinchable, all in, diehard servant of God. He got beaten and left for dead. Unafraid, he went back to that town and he slept there overnight. It wasn't like, I'll go back there and grab my snack. Or, you know what, I'll go back there and grab a burger and then we'll just get out of here. Let's sneak back to town. They just tried to kill me. But let's just sneak in. And he goes, I'm going back to town. I'm going back to town and get a hotel room. You know? Unafraid, he went back to town and he slept there. I had a video clip. And I can't show it, but I'm going to show a still picture. I'm going to tell you about the video clip. And if you're an NBA fan, you're going to love it. You don't have to be a Kobe Bryant fan to love it. I'm not a Laker fan, but I have respect. And this was one of the coldest moves. This is the first thing I thought of, Andrew, when I read that this week. And there's this guy named Matt Barnes, and they're fighting on the court, back when you could kind of fight a little bit. And they're fighting. It came to blows. These guys are right in each other's face, just screaming, right? And the guy with the hands on the ball is Matt Barnes, and Kobe's standing there out of bounds, and he takes this ball, right, and he goes just like this. Boom, in his face. And Kobe just did what Derek did. He goes, didn't flinch. Like, go ahead. Do it again. I ain't scared. I'm not even going to be moved by that. I felt like Paul's like, you left me for dead, stoned me to death, you didn't like it? I'm going back into town, grab a sandwich, get a nap. In your town. I'm not afraid. Why? Because I'm ready to stand up. I gave my life already. One of these days, that stoning is going to end in me dead. If it's not today, then what do we do? Let's go back to that town and show them what life looks like. Stop being afraid. Sometimes you just got to stand up from your worst beating. Come on. Sometimes you got to stand up from your worst beating. Paul took a brutal beating and went back to work. After our beatings, do we bounce right back? Are we bitter? Or we bite back? Or do we give up? That's the worst beating. I'm done. Trust me, I've said it. I'm done. Don't need any more of those. Right after our being beaten to the point of death, how quickly are we to get right back to another hard assignment? Paul's proven. He's the bomb. You're right. He is. Because I know when I'm beaten at my worst, there's no way I'm like, when's the next hard assignment? I'm like, when's sabbatical? Oh, we're signed up for 8 parties? No. No, my week was like brutal, 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 brutal. I can't go to a party where there's more than 4 people trying to kill me. But Paul was beaten to death or left for dead in a brutal way that appeared he was going to die and bounced right back up and said, I'm going back to the same people that killed me, because that's the job of a believer. Love them to life with the life we've been given. Right after, just asking for a friend, do we do that? Truth is, without God's intervention, without his spirit, none of us bounce back. It's not going to be like, saddle up, I'm tough. It's not happening. You can't bounce back from the dead on your own. It just doesn't happen. You got to trust his spirit. And some of you are in a place you feel like you've been beaten to death. And whatever your thing is, that's the place where he's asking maybe for you to stand up. He wants to breathe life into that place you're beaten and send you back to the beaters. I'm not talking physical. I'm talking, you know who you're talking about. Because God, anything's possible. Many of you, Jesus has brought you back to life. Raise your hand. Many of you have taken severe beatings. Raise your hand. It's time we, the church, bounce back and get to the work he's called us to. He might not have called you to go back to town. Sometimes he's like, get out of town. Sometimes he'll call you back into town. I like to be called out of town more than into town most of the time. Yeah. You know, it's about 3 hours north. I love when he calls me there. Acts 14:21. After preaching the good news in Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia, where they strengthened the believers. Very important part of mission trips. They encouraged them. Ah, good job, apostles. They encouraged them to continue in the faith. NSBI note takers, you ready? NSBI note takers, do what it takes, don't be fakes, beware of snakes. Do what it takes, don't be fakes, beware of snakes. When you're out there doing stuff for Jesus, do what he asks, be authentic, be aware of snakes. They encourage them to continue and reminding them that we must suffer. Wow, that would have been a good one to cut out. If they're going to cut out some, that would have been a good one. But it's in there. Say it's in there. Who put it in there? Luke? God put it in there. Good answer. Give her a sucker at the end of the service. That we must suffer many hardships. Say life is messy. People are messy. Sometimes the church is messy. We must suffer many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. What's he talking about? Trials are often opportunities to be proven faithful. Trials prove us faithful, how we respond. We must be proven. You know, people say, when you're a kid, prove it. Everything, prove it. I say, I'm a Christian. Prove it. What's your relationship with God like? You know, there's a guy named Keith Green. He's old. Some of you may know, have heard of him. He is a song singer in the 70s, a hippie artist for Jesus, and he had this saying that going to McDonald's makes you no more a hamburger than going to church makes you a Christian. Where you go, or your statements on the wall, or where you buy your stuff at Hobby Lobby, it doesn't. There's a proving that has to happen, and usually that proving is during a hard situation. Because it's easy to bless God when things are going cruising. And I'm just, everything's great. Someone just gave me a meal. Car's doing fine. Health's good. Ran a marathon. Got a burger. Got a lot of people on my likers page. God is good. What about when your car gets mashed up? No one's on your likers page. And actually, you've been unfriended. Proven many times. Many times the proven have to go through hard stuff. It's right here. Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. Hi, I'm an elder. That's what I am here. But these guys are planting churches, and they're doing a great job. And this is what you do when you plant a church. They appointed elders in every church with prayer and fasting. Get God's clear opinion. These guys seem good. Let's go to God with it. Yeah, but look at super successful, real handsome. Has an MBA. Drives a Mercedes. You can hear him speak the word of God. Yeah. Dude's on fire. Yeah, but let's pray. Let's just ask God. Why? Because we don't make our own decisions, right? Appointed elders in every church with prayer and fasting. They turned the elders over to the care of the Lord in whom they had put their trust. The Lord knows this church is going to get messy sometimes. He loves people. But these guys in charge over there, it's basically says, I'll leave you guys to it. Asta. You know the Lord? Yeah. We see him in your life? Yeah. You're in charge? Yeah. I'm in charge? Yeah. You better be careful. If you know him, you better be careful because you're speaking for God and his people now. You're supposed to be good shepherds. And we're going to leave you to it. Why am I leaving you to it? Because it's between you and God now. Directly. You step to that spot. You need to know there's an answering for us. We'll just leave you to God. We don't got to worry about that. We're going to leave you to God. They traveled back through Pisidia and Pamphylia and Perga and went down to Attala. Here's a minor point. Say maybe. They turn the elders over to, with prayer and fasting, they turn them over in place of overseers. So that responsibility is so huge, and I feel like sometimes in the body of Christ, it's thrust into gifts and not callings. I've seen many gifted people try to do something for God that ends up being something popular for them, and it feeds something in their life, and their gift is amazing, but everything grows up and then falls apart. Ever see that? You can't build around a gift. You have to build around a calling. And if you are called to that, then there's a seriousness that you got to take the weight of that on, because most pastors that are doing that and elders in church are doing that are living 4 inches from a rock quarry, and everybody's ready to grab a handful. And you better be able to stand up when they got rocks in their hands and do it anyways. It's great to make sermons. Sometimes I want to do just sermons where you just run and go, whoa, pastor killed it. I feel like, ah! Man, I just feel like a princess. I already didn't walk out. I'm just a princess. And I feel strangely handsome. Service is good. No, if that's all service was, and your heart never gets cut by something God's doing to improve us, not to be perfect, but more like him, where areas we can grow in giving Jesus to the world during our hardest moments, then there's no point being here. Don't go someplace you're just going to get Skittles. Sometimes you need some steak and some cheesecake, you know, sometimes. Cheesecake. Did you hear what I said? Oh, cheesecake. I'm playing subliminal messages. And Sabrina, just never, no, I know none of you, strike it from the tape. Okay. Now, the what and the way he asks you to do your job, that matters. You can't just do the job. He asks us how to way to do our job. So here's Paul. They're not perfect, but they're proven. And he's saying to them, I trust God's going to lead you and deal with you. Asta. See you later. We're going sailing. You know? So, okay, elders, let's go to it. Acts 14:26. Finally, it's been a long and painful trip. Ever come back from a long and painful trip, but successful? It was long and painful, but successful. Like, whew, just beat. Finally, that season's coming to a close. After a long, like, if I'm away from Dr. Heidi more than 2 weeks, I usually feel like the oxygen's removed from the world, and I want to fight invisible beings. Imagine being gone a long time. I have a friend that he goes on missions trips for months sometimes. And he asked me to go. I said, no, I can take my wife. Well, I said, just Did you ask Jesus? Yeah, he said, I've gone a lot with you. And he said, I don't have to go anymore, lest I take my wife. Finally, they returned to the ship in Antioch of Syria, where the journey had begun. The believers there had entrusted them to the grace of God to do the work, say proven, the work they had now completed. Here's a big piece in your life. Ever finished something that you couldn't wait to be finished and it's finally done and you did a good job? Is there anything like that feeling in the world? Finished. Did it. You know, every time I ask Alejandro and Kaylee, how's wedding planning going? Every time we're working on the property trying to get it ready. I bet they can't wait to, property's done, it's ready. And like, what more do you got to do? Well, I got to move that rock over there and this rock over here. And there's 4 inches of dirt on the left. There should be 4 inches of dirt on the right. I bet you can't wait for it to be done. Because you're going to get married there no matter what. It's coming up, bro. It's coming up. There's a big piece that comes to finishing when he asks you to do something, especially something that's hard. All right, I lose treasure in heaven all the time from stage, but here it is. Here goes my treasure. It's probably not a lot, but here it was. We have a garbage in our bathroom that occasionally is like a mountain. It's only 2 foot high, but the garbage has reached about Ellie's height. It's gotten up there. And it's a crazy balancing act that one of us does really well. And it's there. And one day I saw one of us that uses our bathroom throw a Q-tip in there, which wasn't, I don't know, the odds of it falling down in the basket were probably like 14%. But they bounced off a water bottle. I saw it flip behind the toilet and land back there. I saw it happen. And so my wife said, hey, one day, could you clean the bathroom? I said, yeah. I can do that for you, baby. I can clean the bathroom. Sure, no. I'm cleaning the bathroom. I took the big garbage out, you know, and I did everything done. And then in the back of my mind, the Holy Spirit goes, what about the Q-tip? It's not my Q-tip. It was someone else's. So? I had to go back outside. From outside, I was at the garbage. Go back in there, get behind the toilet, grab the Q-tip. And I've said to myself, this is treasure, right, Lord? Well, I just spent it right there, you know. But a job completed was done. So if she decided to get back, I'd go, let me see. Did you do the bathroom like I would do it? She said, no Q-tip back there, man. Taken care of. Completed it. Done. Right? Upon arriving in Antioch, they called the church together. Sweet. A special midweek service. Dude, Miley's in town. Let's have a special midweek service. She's in town. And reported everything God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles too. And they stayed there with the believers a long time. Two obvious conclusions here. Paul, I got three, I think. Paul and Barney are big proven part in building up the rapidly expanding church. Paul and Barnabas, Luke said it, the apostles said it, they sent them out to do it. The church does not get expanded with the gospel of Jesus Christ in our world today without Paul and Barnabas. Scripturally proven, right? Dealing with people is a balance of proven and messy work. And we got to know that going in because we expect perfection from ourselves and boy, we expect it from other people too. We got to stop it. That doesn't mean we don't challenge ourselves to be like Jesus and to grow on what God asks us to do and to let him impact our lives and let sometimes a sermon cut us and help us feel better, you know? I should have passed Skittles out at the door, made you forget about all of the rough things I said. But God is trying to do something in us in this time to get us ready to do something amazing. I believe it. And we got to understand that you got to be proven and it's messy work. And he's training others for long-term commitments. Long-term commitments. What if he asked you to do something far away? What if he asked you to stay when you want to go far away? The church today, say I'm the church, should be asking the Lord for assignments. We should be asking him, fill me with joy, fill me with the Spirit, and Lord, give me an assignment. Just give me an assignment that I can complete. Just whatever you pick. I have some I'd like. For years, I'm trying to build a base in the South Pacific. I had a little breakthrough this week. It was good for me because I was just like, I'm going to shake the dust off my feet. I'm not going there anymore. Stubborn. But you got to ask them for assignments. Your assignment might be live right next door. Your assignment might be that crazy aunt. The assignment might be Jasmine. You don't know. The church should be asking for assignments, the ones he desires for us to complete. Well, how about the assignments he wants to complete in us this year? You know those assignments? I have some of those assignments that he has to complete in me. And then I want him to complete the assignments around me. So I'm going to urge you to ask him about his real assignment for you this season. Like for you specifically. If you've come to know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, then you have a specific assignment in yourself to grow in him. And he's going to send a people in your life. And they may be a messy people. But God loves people. And people are messy. So this is the year that he's going to use you and all your messy stories and everything God's brought you through in your story. He's going to bring you to a place. What he said to you about short-term assignments. Can he give you any short-term assignments? Can he give you any long-term assignments? There's any assignments that you know, look at, I know friends of mine that love to pick up assignments and get them like partly done. And they got 87 partly done assignments. What ones did God tell you to do? All of them. Well, what one should you be concentrating to get completed this year? What does he want you to complete this year? That you started and you didn't complete, but you don't. This is the year. God's saying to me, you have a thing? Put your hand up if you have a thing. Because I want to pray for you. You got a thing? He's like, I know what he's saying to me about my inside completion. Because I want that for you. I'll pray for you tenaciously over that. I want you to pray for me too. Maybe he's got a bigger work to send you to do. Maybe he's waiting for you to finish that assignment because he's got something big. It doesn't have to be a meeting. It can be a blessing. But are we willing to take a beating and get right back to work? Say, I'm the church. I have a real conversation with God this week. Can you promise me that? Let's stand. This is season one. Season two, you know how you have to usually wait a long time for a season to come out? You're watching a show, you know? Season two is coming up in a couple weeks. We're going to finish the books of Acts. You know why? Because God asked me to complete it. And I'm taking a pause because Dr. Heidi and Christmas. But I have attention issues. And it's hard to be in one thing for very long. Very long. But he said, complete Acts this year. And I didn't do it willy-nilly. I believe that God was speaking to the body of Christ and to New Season specifically about the book of Acts for our lives. There are people here that need the Holy Spirit more than they ever have before. They need to be filled up. And not in a funky, freaky way, but an authentic power of God changing your life and those lives around you way. I believe there's assignments he's called you to. This is some of the strongest believers he's ever gathered at one point in time here. I see you. And I don't want us to be fruit that dies in the vine. I want your fruit to go out there and be planted in other people's lives so Jesus can be magnified because of you. This is your year. You've had some hard ones. Anybody have some hard ones? Yeah. But you're proven you're here. So pray for each other that you might be healed and get back to assignment. Sound good? Father, this morning as New Season Christian Fellowship, I thank you that you don't leave us in hard. You heal us. I thank you that you bless us and equip us to accomplish all that's in your heart. Lord, we're not going to be critical this year. We're going to be praisers. We're not going to be quick to form opinions, Father. We're going to be prayers. Lord, we're going to be yielded. You can send us anywhere, even to Walmart. In Jesus' name, amen.